Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row.
All right, all right. So I recognize the voice, but who is that?
A generic singer. I have no idea.
Oh, all right.
Sounds like the Peter, Paul, and Mary era.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. It's not them. Oh, David Grover and the Big Bear Band.
All right, cool. Where do you come up with these?
It's his gift.
Yeah, it's just a gift, I guess, yeah.
It's a gift. Nice. There's something that ties into the theme musically. Gary D. finds it.
There you go.
We're talking urban farming with Farmer Greg. You can find out more about his programs at urbanfarm.org.
Yep.
And we were in the middle of talking about planning
placing your garden.
Yeah. Placing your garden, and part of that is planning for water.
Yeah. Well, and really just paying attention to where your water's coming from. Because, you know, when you just stop to think about it, you might think, oh, I just have a hose, right? And there are so many other places. There's so many other places to derive our water from if we just start paying attention. One of them is, so I have an evaporative cooler on my house. And for those of you who don't know, an evaporative cooler uses water to cool down the air to cool down your house. And there's a water vent that, you know, pushes off water to keep it from getting too salty in the evaporative cooler. That's one place to get water. A second place to get water is your hose. Third place to get water to pay attention to is gray water. And gray water is any water that goes down any sink in your house, any drain and sink in your house.
Except
your toilet and your dishwasher. Exactly. Your kitchen.
That's your black water.
Yeah, that's your black water. And it is legal in the state of Arizona to use gray water in your yard. It takes a little planning. It takes a little planning, but you can
change up of soaps and a change up of shampoo and hair products. But you really can. And according to Water Use It Wisely, 70% of the water we use is outdoor, 30% indoor.
Yep.
Well, if we are able to repurpose, you know, let's say of that indoor use minus the black water, you're probably going to be able to say repurpose half of it.
Oh, at least. Yeah. So really paying attention to that. So gray water. We happen to have flood irrigation at the urban farm. I bought the place 30 years ago because it has flood water. And so that helps a lot. This is a bit of an obscure place that gives us, and this is only good in the summertime when the air conditioning is running, but your condensate from your air conditioning unit is actually distilled water.
Dad puts a bucket underneath it, and that's what his dogs drink all summer long.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, there's an amazing amount of water that comes off the condensation of your air conditioning unit in July. Well, it depends when you run your evaporative cooler or when you run your air conditioning, because we run our evaporative cooler to the first week of July. So for us, July, August, September, you know, we get a fair amount of water coming out of our air conditioning unit. So paying attention to where your water is coming from is really important. And there's more there than you think. Plus then there's rainwater harvesting. And, you know,
if you think you can't or don't have enough water in Phoenix to rainwater, because for a long time, you know, that was always the saying as well, there's enough in Tucson, and there is a lot of rainwater harvesting companies and specialists in Tucson and not in Phoenix, and they say, well, there's not enough in Phoenix. Well, the last year, any indication, there's enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I get this question a lot. Why bother harvesting rainwater? Well, first of all, it's free. Secondly, it's falling on your property anyways. Third, all you have to do is direct it to the right place. Rainwater harvesting for me, and we talk about this in the summertime, but rainwater harvesting for me is simply directing that water in your landscape where you want it, and then plant around where that water's at. And, you know, there was one event in 2014 in September. We got 3 inches of rain in 2 hours. It was a September morning in 2014. And when I figured it out, in that 3 inches of rain, we got 29,000 gallons of water that fell on the urban farm in that hour and a half or so. So, you know, it's pay attention.
29,000 gallons, and that's a third of an acre?
A third of an acre, yeah. Yeah, It's like a lot of water. So really pay attention to that.
That's more than some homes use in an entire month.
There you go. That, you know, it's an Olympic-sized swimming pool, I think. You know, that's a lot of water. So pay attention to that. And so really the next step that I encourage people to do is view your space. I have a third of an acre. View your space as a whole system. And it's a whole system that interacts with the system outside. So I actually learn a lot about what goes on in my yard by walking the neighborhood and seeing what other people are doing, where their shade's growing, where there's too much sun. Just pay attention to the different microclimates that are in your neighborhood, and then see how you can start to replicate them in your own property. And I do this by looking at something called permaculture. Permaculture, I like to call the art and science of working with nature, because we human beings think we can do it better than nature. And I have news for you. Nature always wins. Nature always going to have the top, you know.
And I've never seen a rose garden growing on its own.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, we need to assist it. But my yard, the urban farm, which we'll have open and tours in March and April and May of this year, of next year, sorry, 2020. We're not quite there yet. Almost, though. Can you believe it's going to be 2020 in just a few days? It was just 1999.
Y2K was going to kill us all.
There you go.
More with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the House right after this.